This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Levi Ubelt, thank you so much. And we are inside the Chili Dome, and it's a good place to be today because it is raining outside and not a typical Irish Day Saturday here in 2019. And we're joined right now by Sean Webb as he is in charge of the 33rd annual Chili Cook-Off. And Sean, it's usually 105 degrees, not much of a breeze, and a little different today.
Yeah, you know, usually we're up here with swamp coolers and fans, and people are sweaty, and it does good for the beverage sales, I suppose, and we get a lot of smiles on the warm days. But, you know, today we're going to adapt and overcome. We'll make it, I think.
And, you know, in a lot of ways, this is a more ideal day for a chili cook-off, but there's always something about a chili cook-off in the middle of summer when it is 100 degrees.
Well, we like to be a little different, right? And chili in June is not typical. But, yeah, for sure, today. Warm cup of chili this afternoon is going to be just what we need.
So this is the 33rd annual chili cook-off, and, of course, this is the first year we're here without our friend Terry Tote. But he loved the Chili Dome. He loved Irish Days, and, you know, he'll be missed in a lot of different places, but maybe nowhere quite like the Chili Dome.
It's overwhelmingly special to us. It really is. Terry was one of those guys that was a true fan, not a fan of a specific sport. He was a fan of the community. He was just an amazing cheerleader for every event that happened in our small communities. And it was sometime back when Terry first came to do the sports broadcast here. And when I tried to figure out when that was, I couldn't get an answer from anyone.
I didn't know. It was a long time.
It was a long time. That's what everybody said. Well, it was a lot of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about the wonderful stories and how Terry was such a fan of, you know, the special education program at the school. And, you know, that's where we donate the proceeds from today's event. But more so, we chuckled that the Chili Dome name came from the fact that, you know, we're in a beer tent. And Terry didn't want to call it the beer tent, so he just renamed it lovingly the Chili Dome, and Wayland's Chili Dome, I think it was. Terry always had a nice way to make things, you know, very special. And he just made a crazy impact on us here in Farmersville and specifically here at the Chili Cook-Off.
And he would always say that as a Panhandle kid, Irish Days was the start to summer. So it always was very special to him because it meant when he was a kid, wait a minute, no school. We like that. And then, of course, you know, he just loved this festivity as he got to be an adult coming here to broadcast. But you mentioned that the money goes to the Panhandle School Special Education Program. And Terry was such an advocate for kids and helping kids in a variety of ways beyond just sports. So when you can raise money like this and give it to a program like that, that's what being in a community is all about.
Oh, it is for sure. And, you know, since the start 33 years ago when Jim Whalen and Dave Heaton started this cook-off, I believe it was the Ethnic Festival in Wagner was when it started, the year after. You know, all those proceeds from all 33 cook-offs have went to that program there at the school, and those teachers are amazing. The program is fantastic. And the little extra money that we raise, it helps everyone. So it is special, and it has been special, and it was just really great that, T was on board for that, and I'm glad that we've been able to continue this on.
And there's been years where you've had, I don't know what the high number of entries you've had. I mean, there was one point where it was 50. I knew it was a very big number. I understand there's maybe not quite as many this year, but that's good for the judges and their stomachs.
So the centennial year for Farmersville Irish Days, we had 50 teams. 50 teams of chili means that all of those judges have to sample all 50 chilies. Now, that year we did break it up a little bit because we had to. That's just mean to do to anyone.
Oh, goodness gracious.
50 samples. For you guys that have ever judged, you can't go through and judge them all without having to go back and have a little tiebreaker or try to pick out your 5 or 10 favorites. So these are some miserable people come Sunday. I mean, we don't pick judges we like. No, I'm joking, of course.
I know the people who do judge it. They take that as a sense of pride. It's a nice honor to be selected as one of the judges.
Oh, my. And I joke about this a lot because I think it's funny. I love the process. I love that people come out and cook chili in June.
Yeah.
I think this is wonderful. But it is all business back there during judging. Those folks that come and do this for us, and man, we thank them. You know, they're always eager to judge. And we try to switch it up every year and get some new judges and different judges. But it's all business. They take it very serious.
And so do the contestants. I mean, when people come in here, they're coming in to win. You got $500 on the line.
So, and it's funny you bring that up because we do give away, I think, nice prize money. You're $500 to the winner, you know, $300 for second, $100 for third, and People's Choice gets $50. But it every year we get almost all of those prizes donated back.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's not about the money as much as it is those bragging rights. Holy smokes. These are coveted plaques around here. People talk about this all year. And we had Bob Wagoff and Kate Wagoff that were four-time winners. Got beat by Brad Whalen last year, so yeah, we've got a new king on the court, and he's defending his title. And so we're always excited to see what's going to happen.
So as you look back on the years, is there one type of chili that seems to be more popular, or does it just kind of fluctuate year to year depending on the judges?
It definitely moves around. I would call Brad's chili, Brad Whalen's chili, a spicier chili, mm-hmm. but Bob and Kate definitely make a sweet chili. So we've seen sweet win more than we've seen spicy win, but, you know, we've seen folks come in and get first, and the next year they get last.
Right.
So it really, you just can't predict it. It varies. It just varies.
Sean Webb, I think Jim Willen told me you've been in charge of this about eight years now. Is that he thought he did it for 25?
25, something like that. And me and Raybo took over maybe 7 or 8 years ago, something like that.
So when you took over, obviously you kind of probably feel a sense of responsibility to keep this going like it's gone. But was there anything once you got in charge you're like, oh man, I didn't really understand that about the chili cook-off?
Well, I don't think we knew what to expect when we came in. I think we expected things to be complicated and for this to be a really in-depth process, mm-hmm. with a lot of work. But, you know, Jim and Dave made this event very simple.
Yeah.
And it sort of takes care of itself. So we get just tremendous support from the folks in town. The KC Council 1152 is amazing. Of course, there are sponsors. But we get a lot of support and a lot of help from the folks around, to everything from setting up tables to counting the money and judging. So really it takes a village to make it happen, and I think we're just a small part of it here. And I think that's probably why Dave and Jim were so successful with it too. The community stands behind these kinds of events.
Tell us about some of the people who help you out.
Oh, gosh. So, my wife, first, you know, she puts up with this. But, you know, really, Raybo and Barb take care of most of everything. I think all I have to do is get up here and smile and talk for a while, and then everything seems to work out. But, I think what makes the event special and what really helps me is that we have generations of cooks. We have grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads, and now, sons and daughters and grandsons, granddaughters coming up and cooking against each other, cooking with each other. That's what makes it special to me. And there is some competition.
Sure.
And I love seeing that. But that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps the batteries charged, right? It is a little work to get it going. It's a little work to the day or two before, a little stressful, and especially with the rain. You know, you wonder if you're getting everything in order when you should. But when you see all these folks come up and they get so excited about it, this is a great event in a small town.
I just got a text from our buddy Kyle Hirschman. He says, quote, "We don't pick judges we like!" Exclamation point. I'm judging this year, Sean.
Man, Kyle's my favorite. Are you kidding?
So besides Kyle, who else you got judging this year?
Oh, geez.
If you know off the top of your head, I have to just put him on the spot.
Yeah. Brian Hitchings. Nicky Loman.
Last judge, a mystery judge.
I don't have a set of judges in front of me. I apologize.
I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have put you on the spot like that.
No,
we'll blame Kyle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everybody except Kyle.
Sean Webb, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. I know you got a lot to do here today, so I'll let you get back to it. And best of luck with the 33rd annual Chili Cook-Off.
Thank you.
All right, Sean Webb here inside the Chili Dome at Irish Days. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Matt Milberg and Vern Pinkston alongside. We're going to talk about Lincolnwood, and we're going to talk about Terry as well. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
And now back with more Sports Saturday from the Chili Dome at Irish Days. Here's Tim Myers.
All right, Levi, thank you very much. And, yep, it's a rainy day, but I don't think the spirits are going to be dampened too much here inside the Chili Dome. And happy to have Vern Pinkston and Matt Milberg joining us. And, Matt, you just said off air, your first Father's Day. That's exciting.
Yeah, last year we were on baby watch during this week. I know Terry always gave me some hard times when I got here, and this is my eighth Irish day. So he'd see me here, and he'd tell me it'd be the eighth year. I'm going to be ahead of the staff here at Lincolnwood for the basketball team again.
And, that, of course, you have been joining us here. I can't believe it's been 8 years. It's amazing how time flies. But, of course, you've got your raffle going on, and I know that's an important event for you guys.
Yeah, we try to get the kids out here. A little slow today with the rain, obviously. But we got team tickets out here for the trifecta. They got Cardinal tickets for the first prize right behind home plate, and then a TV for second prize, and a security system for the third prize.
Yeah, those Ring doorbells, those are pretty fancy.
Yeah.
It is amazing, though, like for all the different things, how good prizes have gotten over the years. You know, it used to be you get a prize, and it's like you just kind of leave it wherever you got it, and like, yeah, it was about, you know, about the time. But now the prizes are legit.
Well, I think the sponsors are the ones to thank on that. You know, we got Sorrels, and we got Bruce Webb, and we got Country Insurance with Pogey and Chuck Brown from Orsonville. You know, those people are the ones that are generous to help us out.
How's the Lancer basketball team looking during the summer here?
We're 500 right now. We've been playing a little bit different style. For the past 7 years or 6-7 years, we've had a really true good big guy in the post. And I don't know if there's something in the water between, you know, Morrisonville, Farmersville, Raymond, Wagner, Harville, or Palmer, but the boys aren't as big as we've had in the past. So we're trying to speed up the game a little bit for us, which is, you know, a little bit different style for me. I like to slow it down, but we've been letting them go a little bit more, and it's been paying off. We got a big shootout here in Vandalia next week on Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to see some 1A, 2A, and we'll even see 3A Benton. So we're going to get our test Monday and Tuesday, and we'll see how they do then.
Yeah, players are made in the summertime. And I know Terry always said, give me guards.
Absolutely. Terry always was a big advocate for the, you know, talking about increasing, you know, their players' ability in the summertime. For sure, I think offensively that's when players are mostly changed in the summertime. You know, defensively we'll tweak them down in the wintertime and try to get that mojo going then.
As you look kind of at your philosophy during the summertime, do you encourage your kids or set goals for them to make X number of shots, like on their own, that type of thing?
Well, I wouldn't say individual goals, but we do, you know, open gyms where we actually get up and down the floor a little bit more, and then we do a fundamental for about an hour and a half. We actually work on our ball handling and our shooting. We, you know, turnovers are a key issue to try to decrease every year, and we work on those fundamentals more so during the week. And then when it comes to games, we've been playing on Mondays, so we'll get in, you know, two games on Mondays, and then get back to the fundamentals on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Of course, the IHSA made an announcement this week about the change in the state basketball tournament format, and I'll be interested to get both Vern and Matt's thoughts on this. Vern, we'll start with you, because, you know, you can go back to the days of, what, 72, when Lincolnwood was there in the one-class system, and then, of course, it went to the two-class system, now four-class system, but now it's all going to be on one weekend, which I think that's a good idea. That really should, I think, bring the crowds up and really have some good energy in the building.
I think so. Yeah, back in 72, that was the first year that it was two classes.
Okay.
And brought a lot of excitement to all the smaller schools. They actually had a chance, before that they all had to compete against big schools, I remember. But that was exciting, though, when it was one class. I remember when I was like in junior high, going to the Springfield Armory and watching the regional, and Lincolnwood always had to play against Southeast, and I remember us beating Southeast 1 year and beating Griffin and playing Lanphier, and it was different then. It was exciting, but it was always a big school, little school,
a true
David versus Goliath. Every year you had that, where now your smaller schools all have a chance, yeah, to compete.
It was a true Hoosiers type of thing when it was one class. And I know when it went to two, well, that won't work.
Yeah.
And when it went to four, people said, that won't work. And I'm not a huge fan of the four-class system, but it's more for what it's done to the state tournament itself, because, like, when Hillsborough girls were up there, Chicago Marshall had, like, 12 people there.
Yeah.
You know, so right. The crowds just haven't been the same. And I think that's probably the biggest reason that the change was made, to try to get – it used to be a packed house.
Right.
And when you get to the state tournament, Matt, it should be a sellout crowd.
Well, I'm with the IBCA, and we go up there on Thursday, and then we're there Friday and Saturday, and the crowd is not as good as it should be, you know what I mean? And I think the fighting for the gym to host this for a consecutive weekend is going to be interesting mm-hmm. here, whether it goes to Champaign, back to Champaign, or maybe, you know, Bloomington is interested in it, and Peoria, obviously. So I think it's going to be interesting to what venue it's going to be at.
You know, last Saturday we replayed Terry's call, the 1998
yeah.
Nokomis game, which was fantastic. But he made the comment on that broadcast about how the boys tournament could be held at ISU and Redbird Arena because that is just a wonderful facility, and it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Whoever decides to host it, though, they're going to have to come up with a way to have that March Madness experience because that has transformed the boys tournament.
Yeah, the experience is a great, great thing. You've got, you know, between games or whatever – kids can go, and they love all the activities there. It's really good for everybody.
I think the biggest thing with the four-class system, in a sense, is our travel. You know, we're for the past couple of years, we've had to travel. One year, we had to travel to Calhoun. We hosted 2 years ago and had North Green and Winchester all the way over in Raymond. And, you know, so I think whenever, you know, we were playing in the early 2000s, you know, we were having regional championships against Hillsboro, you know, against Gillespie, you know, those schools that are around us, even though the distance is more of a factor now, I believe.
The gyms were always packed for those games when you've got your local rivalries involved in championship games, where it seems like now you're playing schools that are 60 miles away, and the intensity level's just not quite the same.
The neighborhood regional, yeah. as Terry would always call yeah. it.
Throughout the day, this is the conversations that Vern and I and some of our other coworkers have on a regular basis. So I've heard this before from him.
But, I mean, there is something to be said for that. And, you know, the decision was made there, obviously, to try to get the best teams and the best seeds through to the sectional. And, you know, when you're running an organization like the IHSA does, and it's, you know, they do a fantastic job of doing what they do, you're never going to be able to make everybody happy. You know, there's always going to be one school that's like, man, we got shortchanged again. We're driving how far to go play a regional game? But when you see a team driving a couple of hours to play a regional quarterfinal, it makes you scratch your head a little bit. But then when you see the best teams in the state in the sectional final, in the super sectional, it's like, oh, okay, I guess that was the method to the madness.
Yeah, that's true.
So as you guys look at Lincolnwood Athletics as a whole here as we get set for a brand new sporting season. Vern, I'll start with you. Where do you see – we got girls basketball coming in to Lincolnwood, which that's
back.
A big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time since the mid-'80s. I think Lincolnwood did have a girls team for about 3 or 4 years back in the mid-'80s. And then there were a lot of budget cuts. Lincolnwood had track at the time. That was cut. The girls basketball was cut. And, well, it's coming back. We'll see how that goes. It could be a pretty exciting thing.
And, Matt, for you, you're going to have to now deal with sharing a gym. That'll be something different.
Yeah, we're excited to see all these people getting back involved with Lincolnwood Athletics. I know Kerry with the junior high and Justin with the high school. You know, he was my assistant for a while. He's been around basketball for a long time. He's going to do a great job. We got Bill Krager. He's going to be my assistant this year. He's coming back. He was with Steve Vance for many years, and that's where I got my first start at the junior high level with those guys. So it's good to see Josh Johnson's coming back on my staff from Nokomis. You know, it's nice to see all these guys coming back to help coach this Lincolnwood Athletics. And believe me, we have co-ops from all different areas throughout the area, too, with Litchfield and Pawnee and Morrisonville. And we're excited to see Lincolnwood Athletics this season.
There's always been a great sense of pride amongst Lincolnwood folks and from the Panhandle, where you see a lot of people who do want to give back and get involved. You don't necessarily see that everywhere. Lincolnwood's not the only place that it happens, but it seems to happen quite a lot at Lincolnwood.
Yeah, it does. But it starts with the kids. That's a good thing about a small school. The students are asked to do a lot of things, where you have a big school and you've got a ton of people that can play basketball. You've got a ton of kids that can play soccer. You've got a ton of kids that can play volleyball or whatever. At Lincolnwood and a lot of these other small surrounding schools, kids are asked to do a lot of things. They're in FFA. They're in band. They're in sports. And they do these things, and the parents support them, and the families support them, and they get behind them and follow them, you know, whatever it is they're doing. And there's a lot of pride in the community in, you know, the small number of kids that we have and how well that they're able to do the things they do.
I had 28 kids sign up for basketball at the beginning of the summer, and I've seen 22 of them. So I believe the co-ops are strong. I believe the parents are very supportive. The numbers that have been coming to the girls' basketball open gyms, things like that, you know, everybody's still interested, even though, like Vern said, everybody's busy. Vacations and FFA and choir and band and all that things that go on in a kid's life. It's just a great place to be.
And that could be a delicate balance as a coach, because as the coach, you're fully invested 100%. So, like you said, kids got a lot going on, and sometimes maybe kids like, wait a minute, I don't want to do that this summer.
I had a senior that mowed for 8 hours on Monday, and then he went to football for 3 hours after that, and then he came and played in our last game.
Wow.
Until 9 o'clock on Monday. You know, I was very thankful for that. I mean, not one time was he sitting in front of the television. You know what I mean?
Imagine that. And, you know, I do think a lot of times that these days kids get an unfair rap. You know, you kind of put everybody into the same group. Ah, kids are lazy. Kids are this. No, they're not. Like, kids are really no different than they were when we were growing up. Matt or Vern, when you were growing up, just the difference is there's more stuff to kind of distract you and occupy your time.
And that's a good thing to, you know, all these programs now, they got soccer going, you know, going to soccer throughout the day, and they're going to basketball, they're going to golf, nine holes, right in our backyard, having a golf course is handy. Right, Vern?
Right, exactly. And,
you like golf, Vern?
A little bit.
But Justin can maybe add on to that. He's sitting right next to me.
Yeah, Justin Milberg has made his way up here. And, Justin, you're going to be coming into your first year as the girls' head basketball coach at Lincolnwood. That's exciting. Just kind of talk about the process. You get the job, now you're in the summer. Just what are you going through? How's it looking?
Oh, it's starting out pretty strong. I got hired there about a month ago, and we had 20 girls interested in playing high school girls basketball, so we're really excited about that. And we had about 20 girls interested in playing junior high girls basketball, so excited about that. We got a good junior high coach as well hired in as Carrie Matthews, which used to be Carrie Eisenbarth. Mm-hmm. And then myself doing the high school girls. So with open gyms, we're both having them at the same time, using different gyms. So we get to kind of get everybody there and see what we got and what our numbers are. And that way, if parents have kids in junior high and high school, they can bring them at the same time. Makes it easier on them. And so we're going really, really well. Had about 9 to 10 show up every week. So really excited about that.
And when you're in the first year of a program like this, I mean, there's going to be some bumps along the road. That's just how it goes. But have you kind of, I guess, laid the foundation or the groundwork for these girls to understand hard work will get us where we want to go?
We've been preaching a lot about fundamentals.
Yeah.
And about being there, if you can be there, if possible. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff going on to occupy their time between all the other sports our school has to offer, all the stuff outside, which we all know they all have cell phones, so they're constantly on their cell phones, mm-hmm. or constantly can play video games or whatever else they got going on. But when we can get them there, and which we have been, which is great, it's been outstanding. It's been good, and we're teaching them the fundamentals and starting from the ground up. We've got two girls with high school basketball experience. So, but our junior high's got several, so they'll be working their way into the woodwork. So I think we're going to be fine. I really do. I'm real happy with our progress. I will tell you, I was telling the girls on a 1 to 10 scale, if we started out at the beginning of the open gyms as a 1, we're already up to a 3.
Okay.
So that makes me really excited about our progress, about what they're picking up and what they're learning and how they're doing so far this year.
Of course, you've been around basketball for a long time, and when you're in a situation like this, it does just take time. And so the summer is always important, but specifically for the girls program this year, the summer is absolutely critical for you guys.
Yes, it's huge. That's why I've been trying to tell them all that the more you're there, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah.
And we've been good. Like I said, we've had good numbers, and it's working out well. They've been getting shots in on the side and working on fundamentals on the side on top of that. So it's been great.
Now, off the top of your head, you know what your schedule is going to look like? Because, you know, this came about kind of quickly later in the game. So I'm sure getting a full schedule was a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. I believe we got around 13 to 15 games in a tournament. Mr. Stone's been working extremely hard on trying to get us dialed in on that. The junior high program, I think, is around the same. So we both did well. We got all our conference schools that will be in our conference. We got all them. And then we've got some bigger schools, and then we got some travel. But you're going to have that in a first-year program, you know. And at this point, I think we're pretty much willing to go wherever we can go to get a game.
Right.
And you know,
bus rides build character. I've heard that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's not just for the girls. That's for all of us.
That's for everybody. That's exactly right. So you mentioned Kerry Matthews in the junior high program, having the open gyms at the same time, but in different gyms. What will be the, I guess, the connection between the two? Because the junior high program and the high school program need to be on the same page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me and Kerry sat down and had a nice conversation about what I would like to do at the high school level, and she's 100% fully supportive, and I think Kerry, well, we all know Kerry knows how to play the game of basketball.
A little bit.
And she's been around basketball quite a bit. And she seems super excited about taking on that role, and she's all aboard about playing the man and not the 1-2-2.
So, what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they
yeah.
let her back into Comas after a statement like that?
Well, you know, she's excited about it. So that's what we're going to work on, and we'll go from there. You know, we'll have some zone, of course. You got to have some zone. So, but, yes.
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we have a new gym, so it's available, too, for us. So, you know, that hasn't been something in the past that we've had as available. And I think with the girls' program and the boys' program going both at the same time, we should have pretty good opportunity to use both gyms and both facilities there at Lincolnwood.
Yeah, that will come in handy because I mentioned to you, Matt, before about you're going to have to share now. But with the second gym, though, maybe not quite as much.
Yeah, like I said, on Sundays, these guys have been going 6 to 7:30. We've been going 7:30 to 9, and it's nice to see the girls in the gym and working together. And Justin's got it going on right now.
And maybe if there's ever a dispute, a coach shoot-off to determine who gets the primo gym time.
Well, I don't know if we'll go that far yet. We're both getting a little bit older. But we get along really well. You know that. We coached together for several years, and I coached junior high before I helped Matt, so we get along great. There won't be too much trouble there. We'll get along just fine. If we have to go to a free throw contest or a three-point contest, I guess we'll just have to do that.
It's going to be nice bouncing ideas off of him, and I guarantee, you know, him coming to me and bouncing ideas off me and, you know, watching some film maybe together, using that opportunity to, you know, just have another coach in the system to help you and along the way. So it's we're eager to get it started.
Yeah, it's great for the school. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We are at Irish Jays inside the Chili Dome. We're back following these messages.
Sports Saturday continues live from the Chili Dome at Irish Jays.
All right, Levi Ubel, thank you so much. We are inside the Chili Dome, the 33rd annual Chili Cook-Off. Getting set here. Some of the participants starting to stagger their way in here through the raindrops on this Saturday morning. Joining us, Vern Pinkston, Matt Milberg, and Justin Milberg. Of course, Terry is not with us for the first time here at Irish Days. And, guys, I want to go around the table here and just kind of give you an opportunity to say whatever you want to say about Terry. I mean, he meant so much to so many different people. And he loved Irish Days, Vern. And I can only imagine the two of you as youngsters coming to Irish Days and raising a ruckus.
Yeah, Terry, Terry liked anything that was fun. You know, there was – I remember more of the Raymond Independence Day celebrations, but he was really a big part of that. You know, the youngsters, we'd go. One thing I do remember as a kid, they had the stand where you could throw ping pong balls and win goldfish. And one year he won like 10 fish. He only lived like two blocks from Main Street where the carnival was being held. I just remember him winning all these fish, and we'd take two or three of these little things back to his house, you know, the colored water in the little goblets or whatever you call them. And he had like 10 fish, and he was naming them all.
How long did they last?
About 2 days. They didn't last long. But when these communities have these celebrations like this, like Irish Days, especially like Raymond, he was always involved in that. You know, I mentioned at the eulogy where he always – was a big part of the Raymond celebration where he would be the MC at the Queen Contest, the Little Miss. He'd be on stage doing some game show like Family Feud or whatever. But he was always the best when he He'd have been a great game show host on television. He'd have been awesome on Price is Right or something like that.
There wasn't anything that he couldn't have done.
No.
And I know it was said he could have gone anywhere he wanted, but he chose to stay home.
Right. And he was so good at impromptu stuff. You know, like, I know a couple of times I was asked to do, like, the money presentation for the team thing at Lincolnwood High School basketball game. And Terry was out of town, or last year he was not able because of his health.
Right.
But I'd ask him, I said, T, you got notes from last year or whatever that I could go off of? Or notes? He said, I didn't have any notes. He said, you had a clipboard. Well, yeah, I just had the program of the thing. So he was always going off the top of his head on stuff like that, which I can't do. I've got to have some notes in front of me. But so he was really good at just coming up with stuff off the top of his head.
Man, I know when you got hired as the basketball coach, he was extremely, extremely happy for you.
I don't think there is anybody in the area more happy than Terry. That includes my family. Going back, before I start, you guys at the funeral service, it was great. So I just want to thank you guys for doing that. You guys did a great job on that. And,
thank you.
And it was something that gave me goosebumps. And, yeah. That's always a good feeling.
And I will say, Matt, I was on the golf course the other day, and I had some people from Gillespie come up and said, we listened to it on WSMI and told me what a nice job we did and how nice the funeral was. I got a letter in the mail from someone in town, said they'd listened to it, and, and they said what a good job you'd done, and I
thought it was one of the funeral service itself was one of the finest ceremonies or services I've ever seen, and it really was fitting of the man.
It was. Like I said, it and that gym is someplace that was very surreal to me. But going back with Terry, whenever I first was growing up, he was our umpire. And now he was in the dugout with us. Vern coached me throughout the years, so I was always around those guys. And then we had career day, and I'd go and see Terry, and he said, don't go on the radio because you won't make any money.
Right.
And so I became a teacher and a coach.
Big
and I still don't make
any money.
So how that goes. But and then, continuing in my career, through college, and then I started assistant, volunteering coaching. And that we had a pretty good group of junior high basketball boys go through with Coach Vance and Coach Krager. We went to end up going to state, and Terry was right there, so I wasn't, interviewing then. I was just in the back corner, and he'd talk to me, and then, made my way through Pawnee, and he'd always, they didn't cover many Pawnee games back in the day, but any time that we played Lincolnwood, he'd come over and talk to me. So whenever I got hired there at Lincolnwood, he was my biggest supporter. And I got a picture on my phone, that I think the biggest thing Terry was as much as he talked on the radio, he was a great listener. And whenever you had troubles and you couldn't talk to somebody else about it, you could talk to him. And he'd give you some advice. He'd been around a long time on those sports teams, and he'd give you some advice. And that was the biggest thing with him that a lot of people might not know, because as much as he talked on the radio, he was a great listener. And the times that I visited him late recently, he just said, keep doing what you're doing. And I guarantee that's what he's saying now. I just keep doing what I'm doing here, and keep playing, the basketball team the best that I can.
That's right. Well, he loved guards, so you got the guards this year. And Justin, I know he was also very excited whenever you got the job as the girls' coach. He was very happy.
Terry's the one that got me started in coaching, believe it or not. I graduated high school, and he come and found me and said, guess what? I said, what? He goes, you're going to be my soccer coach over here for our co-op between Farmersville and Raymond. So I started coaching junior high boys soccer a year after high school. So I got right into it. He jumped me right into the fire.
And that's how he was, right into the deep end you go.
And it was great. And I appreciate everything Terry done to me. He got me involved with the kids and knew that this is the path I needed to go on. So, he kind of shoved my foot in the door and got me going. And I went and made sure I talked to him there towards the end. Yeah. And I went to his house, visited him and his wife and some other brothers and sisters that were there, and sat down and had a conversation with him. I wanted to make sure that he knew that the reason I got into coaching was because of him. And it meant a lot for me to tell him that.
Yeah.
And I could tell he was very appreciative. And it was great to tell him because I wanted to get that off. You know, it's sure. One of those things that you don't just tell people until you know you need to tell people. So it's I thank him for everything he did for our school, our communities. I mean, he did so much for our communities, both all the communities in the school district, everybody in the area, not just Farmersville and Raymond and Harville and Wagner, but he did Litchfield and Nokomis and Carlinville and everybody in our county that, you know, WMSMI reaches and some out of our county, you know, Macoupin County as well. So he did a lot for our kids, done a lot for our community, done a lot for me, done a lot for all our kids in our area. He's a great man. He's going to be very missed. And I was hoping he could be around to watch us have one game, but
that
didn't happen, and things happen. But I'm excited that he was excited that he, you know, the one thing he told me when I was at his house, he said, one thing we do know, Justin, is they're going to play defense. I said, absolutely, Terry, you know it. So that's what we're going to focus on, and he knew going in.
And, you know, Terry, you talked about coaching soccer. Man, I think those might have been some of his favorite times when he was coaching soccer back in the day. But it was not because he wanted to win games. It was always about the kids. And I think that's what the two of you, and Vern, you understand it as well, but the two of you currently coaching, I think you have carried that on to where, of course you want to win. You put the time in, the energy, you want to win. But at the end of the day, it's about the kids.
I think throughout the years, you know, a lot of times some of the coaches even in the area don't get the opportunity to learn. As I said, this is being my eighth year as the head coach, but, you know, coaching many years, you learn and adjust, and I think you start valuing things a little bit differently. I know you guys know around the table here that, you know, Lincolnwood had a tough end of this year. You know, we lost one of my senior basketball boys, and we lost our chief of police, and then we lost an iconic figure in Terry. And I think the kids, I'm not sure, understand what really happened yet, but their support coming to the services and things makes you feel pretty good as a coach and very proud. And I know Justin would say that too, and Vern, with the kids' demeanor.
And what one thing I'm really excited about is we got the Tito Shootout versus Cancer started last year. He was able to be there for the first year. But now this year, it's at Lincolnwood. And you're both going to be there.
Yeah, we're both excited about that. It's already circled on our calendar. And it's nice that we play a rival in Litchfield every year. So we know that there's going to be a big crowd for our game. I know Justin is just as excited as I am.
Yeah, we're super excited about playing in the woodshed and that for Terry and Shootout, Coaches versus Cancer and Terry, you know, and all that stuff. So with Terry being the big man behind that and tote tough and well, we get to play Hillsboro, which you know where they did last year. So,
but thankfully for you, Matusha's gone though.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know a lot about them. I just know that they're good, and they're perennial good. And Terry said when I was at his house that you better be ready. So I said, thanks, Terry. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
That's fantastic.
And I'll be keeping score. I'll try to help you as much as I can.
You know, that's something else I wanted to mention is for Vern, for all the years that he's been behind that green book for me, you know, he's been doing it a long time, and it takes people like that. He travels all the road games and things like that for us, and we're appreciative of that. Maybe I'd be able to do some girls' books and scoreboard now that we have a girls' program, you know, jump in there. So I'm excited about maybe jumping into that aspect of the game.
People don't yell at you much as much if you're just doing the book, right?
I see the referees yell at him a lot. Don't give me that.
I've had a coach or two yell at me about a foul. I got reamed a couple times, but
I see more pins thrown up in the air, that, you know, in the past 5 years than I've seen in the first couple years. So it's always nice to have Vern on my side.
Yeah. That's funny. Vern Pinkston, Matt Milberg, Justin Milberg, thank you so much here this morning on Sports Saturday. We need one more break. Josh Stone is milling around. He's got cables in his hand right now, but he's going to join us. It's been 10 years since Lincolnwood won the state baseball championship. We're going to talk about that. Hard to believe that has been 10 years out.
Unbelievable. It's been 10 years.
Unbelievable. Back with Sports Saturday from the Chili Dome in just a moment.
Sports Saturday back one more time live from the Chili Dome at Irish Days.
All right, Levi, thank you very much. And the rain has picked up, and I'm glad we're up on a stage because we might be getting flooded out if we weren't. Just a crazy day, and it's not lost on me that the first year that Terry is not with us here at Irish Days, it's not 100 degrees, and it's raining cats and dogs.
You can either get flooded or electrocuted down there, so I'm glad we're up high.
I'll take flooded over electrocution.
No.
Yeah, that's right. Josh Stone is joining us now on Sports Saturday. And, Josh, we mentioned before the break, it's been 10 years since the Lancers won the state baseball championship. Doesn't seem possible to me. Does it seem like 10 years to you?
Yes. Yes, it does. The 10 years since then, it's been long, but it's been a decade, and it's hard to put that into words, but it was a great run, and think about it all the time, to be quite honest with you. So
Terry always had a great sense to know when a local team was championship good. Like, he knew it with Nokomis in the 90s. He knew it with the Hillsborough girls basketball team in 06. And he knew it with the Lancer baseball team. I remember him talking before that season started. He said, these guys are the best team in the state.
I think he probably knew it the year before.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We were really good in 08. And we fell short against Nokomis at their place. We lost. We didn't have land in Wiedekamp that entire year. He came back. That was the first game back, I do believe, the regional game with Nokomis. So that was a big hitter out of our lineup in 08. So we knew we were really good in 08, and we had a really good shot with a really good group of seniors coming back in 09.
That group, you know, Josh Glick comes to mind, the nasty lefty. But, my gosh, there was so much talent on that team.
I don't know if a lot of other teams could lose a Chase Yeager in Pawnee in the last game of the season and still make a dominant run through state as we did. I mean, Chase was a huge bat in that lineup, almost led the team in RBIs. And to lose him, and we didn't miss a beat, brought in Michael Stevenson in, and just the team kept rolling.
I think in that state run, every game, regional, sectional, state, someone hit a home run, except a championship game. I think the only game we didn't have a home run, and Glick did hit one that went like over the foul pole, foul by just a few feet.
Josh will swear that was fair, by the way.
Well, it was close. But, and it wasn't the same person every game. It was Lucas Stern. It was Kyle Snyder. It was Landon Wiedekamp. It was, you know, you go down the list, and it was just a different person every game. And they could all hit. They could all hit.
1 through 9, we all hit.
They all hit.
And, I mean, Luke Stern hit a home run in the semifinal game that I don't think's landed yet out of that ballpark. I mean, he hit a ball that I haven't seen, a high school ball hit that hard. And Luke, I mean, he smashed it.
As you look back on it, how hard is it to play that 09 season? When you have those expectations. You mentioned good in 08, ran into Nokomis. But to play a year when you know you're good, everybody you play knows you're good. So you're getting everybody's best shots.
Not always. We found out a lot of times people wouldn't throw us anything. We had a tough time through the season seeing good pitching for long because no one would waste a pitcher on us.
Because they knew it was a loss.
They knew it was a loss.
That's interesting.
So we struggled to see good pitching a lot of the times through the middle of the year, especially in conference play, because we did not see anybody's aces for the most part.
That is fascinating from a competitive standpoint to think, we'll just throw this away because we're not going to beat the Lancers anyway. That's very interesting.
Well, in 1A baseball, when you have one or two pitchers normally,
if
you have to waste them on us that year, you were kind of wasting them on a loss.
Yeah. And what I remember that season was everybody, me anyway, could not wait for the regular season to get over because everybody was just kind of waiting for this state run. Everybody kind of knew we were that good to make a run at it. And the regular season was just, to me, difficult, just trying to get through it because there were a lot of 17-0 games.
I think I knew we were good when Mr. Pinkson got us scheduled with Rochester that year. Rochester played somebody, and we came in and played after them. They didn't have lights. We barely got 6 innings in, but we competed with Rochester. And we tied them, I do believe. And
tied them or beat them?
I think we beat them, actually.
I think it did
I
beat
think
them.
We did beat them, and we knew we were good. Actually, I know we beat them because we were 34-2.
Yeah,
there you go.
So that told me right then and there we were really good.
And, Vern, that's the thing as an AD. When you know you've got a team in a specific year that is that good, it's your job as the AD to make sure you schedule up a few games.
But it's hard to do that because your schedule's made a couple of years in advance. And so, but you do try to, you know, we had a, I think we did play Piasso was pretty good at Sage, and we did get a few things scheduled in.
Yeah, we played Piasso and Sage. We were down 6-0 in the first inning.
Yeah.
Had to come back and get that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get down 6 runs in the first. I guess the good thing is, okay, boys, we got a lot of game left. We haven't even hit yet. When you have an offense like you had, they probably took that as a sense of pride. Like, you know what? We gave you 6. Now we get to go to work.
Yes. That team could hit. Throwing BP to that team was scary. The L screen saved my life more than once. They were a scary team. I mean, look, BP would just, you know, especially when you set out a bucket 20 feet from him, just throw on light toss to him. That net needed to be reinforced 3 or 4 times that year. So it was, but yeah, they could hit 1 through 9. Tyler Walsh came out the 9 hitter could hit 4, 5, or 6 with a lot of good teams. I mean, he was a really good hitter in the bottom. So we really did a nice job.
But the thing with this team, like now you've got kids that play, go to basketball camps in the summer. They go to soccer camps and all this. This team, all they wanted to do in the summer was play baseball. They all were on traveling teams. They weren't all on the same team. Some went here, some went there. These kids, they had a very good basketball team that year, but I think they couldn't wait for basketball season to get over so they could start playing baseball.
And the high school baseball season is so unique for the high school sports because of where it falls on the calendar. So when you've got a senior-laden team, school's over, but yet you guys are still playing baseball in June. And not that you need extra motivation, but in that spot, okay, we've graduated, but we're not done yet.
One of the things we told the kids, if you want a regional, everything else after that is nothing but fun.
Yeah.
School's out. We used to play baseball. There's no homework, nothing to do, and we just get to do what we want to do. And to go on that ride after, you know, we got up early, had batting practice, come back and play a game. That was just a special thing. And looking at all this rain reminds me of our super sectional game up at Lincolnland, I do believe. It rained and rained. We ourselves had to put the tarp on.
Oh, boy.
To in between the game. We got off that bus that day, and I think Lonergan was a coach for Jacksonville Route. And he talked to me a couple years ago, and he said, "We were beat when you guys got off the bus." I said, "What
oh,
do you
wow.
mean? You guys got off the bus in jeans and boots, rain gear, like you were ready to work. Our kids come in our, you know, fancy little turf shoes and all that. Your kids came like they were ready to go farming. And we knew you guys were country strong, and we were beat before you got off the bus."
I bet you guys had a lot of people beat before you got off the bus.
I think so. But, I mean, it's hard to say at our end.
Right.
But you won't spot another team like that, I don't think, in 1A baseball ever again.
No, it was a special moment in time, certainly a special group of kids. And you said it feels like 10 years since that game. As you look back, you know, and I'm sure you run into a number of the players from time to time, what do they remember about it, do you think? Because, like, you know, sometimes when you're an 18-year-old kid in the moment, you're not really thinking about the implications or the impact. But what they did affected the whole community in such a positive way and still does to this day.
I think they're realizing it more as they get older.
Yeah.
I think in the moment, they don't remember a whole lot. A lot of people tell you when they win the championship, they don't remember the exact moments of that day. But as you get older, you start having flashbacks, you start thinking about it. And I think they're realizing the impact. When they come to Irish Days, people say, "Hey, congratulations, it's been, you know, 10 years. And they talk about that team still. And I think as they get older, they realize it more and more.
Yeah.
One of the most incredible things I remember of the championship game was our catcher, Shane Burbridge. And I was in the stands watching. I didn't know what had happened.
This is a good story.
And we had runners in scoring position, 2 out, and Shane's up there trying to bunt. And I'm about to come unglued. I'm thinking, why is he bunting? We've got guys in scoring position. And after the game, I found out he played the game with a broken hand.
Wow.
During batting practice, he'd gotten hit with a bat, broke a hand on his catching hand, and he was catching with a broken finger, to the point where a couple times the umpire about threatened to take him out of the game because he missed a couple of balls or hit his glove
yeah.
wrong, and he was yelping or
well,
whatever.
We had Aaron Pope, our backup catcher. He did warm-ups every inning. Shane, we lost his helmet. We couldn't find his glove. He couldn't get out there fast. He couldn't get out there slow enough. We had Aaron Pope warm up the pitcher every day, every inning. And we actually knew the home plate umpire. He was from Auburn. And if it wasn't for him, we may have lost Shane that game because he knew he was hurt.
That is a remarkable story. Fellas, we are out of time. Thank you so much for reminiscing about the 2009 Lincolnwood Lancer Baseball Championship game. Thanks to all the folks here at Irish Days, Justin Milberg, Matt Milberg, Vern Pinks, and Josh Stone. Thank you so much. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. So long from the Chili Dome.